and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. This is Retro Asylum. I'm Dean Swain, and joining me is Paul Higgins.
How you doing, Dean? How are you?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Thanks for joining us.
No problem at all.
We're introducing you. You're going to be our resident arcade expert.
I'll do my best. What more can I say? I can do my best. I'll probably get heckled for it, I'm sure, somewhere along the line.
Fret no more. Don't worry to our listeners. We're not just going to turn into an arcade podcast, but everyone will know that I absolutely love my arcade games. I love an arcade conversion on the ZX Spectrum and other formats. Yeah, we thought it'd be a good idea to do another episode talking about various arcade games and also the Vectrex, but this time it's a bit different. It's Paul's first time on the show. Normally it's Alex from, what's his podcast called?
Owl's Arcade. Him and Sean, yep. Isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, we've had Alex on the show in the past talking about stuff, but this time we're going to talk about actually building a collection up or getting a jammer cab, that sort of thing, because normally we just discuss the games and not really the arcade collecting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that would be nice. So, Paul, tell us about yourself.
I'm 50 this year, so I was born in 74. So when I was a youngster growing up in Tottenham, North London, around about the time, I'm the youngest of six. So I was dragged around the arcades when I was sort of seven, eight onwards. My brother above me, David. Just all started from there, really. So we were lucky to have two arcades sort of 150 metres apart from each other. So it was at the weekends, getting our pound pocket money and heading down there, you know, spending as much time as we could down there. And, yeah, it just all started from there, really. So it was going in between the two arcades and, yeah, just picking up. Well, not so much picking up, but it was more doing little chores to sort of get extra money. You know, little things, paper rounds and stuff like that.
So were these proper arcades?
Yeah, dedicated. Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, we had like Defender, Robotron, even like Frogger in its original, cabinet. Who else? You had Track and Field, Battlezone, the full upright Battlezone with the little step on the short ones for the small kids like me at the
and
time.
You had all these local. You was
really lucky. Yeah, it was. Yeah, between the two arcades, one was at back of a taxi cab office. Down by Seven Sisters Station. There was one up just up the road, Seven Sisters Arcade, and yeah, they had a couple of pinballs in there as well. But yeah, Space Invaders. There was quite a few in there. There was two or three probably jammer cabs that they'd change the boards over every so often as well, you know, so you'd get to see other games used in the same machine, which I thought was really good, really. As time went on, obviously these become more common.
Yeah, they were everywhere, weren't they?
Exactly.
When jammer cabs were introduced around 85, 86.
Yeah. And they just popped up everywhere. There were money makers for, you know, your local chippy, swimming pool, sports centres had a lot of them. I always remember as the swimming baths down the road from where we used to be in Harrowing. Seven Sisters on Tottenham Tie Road. And there was a swimming pool there, swimming baths, and always had a Disc of Tron and what was the other one they had? I think it was Berserk. I think it was Disc of Tron and Berserk, but they were there for, two or three years, maybe. And it's always come out swimming, any money you had, straight in the games, you know, which is really, really good. But yeah, there was quite a good one. And then you started getting the odd driving game would turn up, and it'd all be, you know, it'd have. There used to be quite a few driving games used to end up as time went on. You started seeing like the Sega come out, and then you'd have Sega racing games come out, and so it'll end up being a little bit. Well, I found it the mixture was good because you have different people coming into the arcades around where we used to live.
Yeah.
And you get to, you know, you'd end up seeing people regularly on a Saturday, and that's how you made friends, and it was all new friends, and it was all from there, like, you know, which was really
good.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
It was quite a social thing, wasn't
yeah,
it, really?
Definitely, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
In South Hackney, where I was brought up, which isn't a million miles away from where you were brought up.
No, not far.
It was a proper amusement arcade called Crowns, but I didn't go in there until I was going to secondary school.
Mm.
But for me, thinking back, I used to play Monaco Grand Prix, which is the top view racing, Sega racing game. They had that in a newsagent.
Is that the one that,
down Well Street Market?
Gavroff, similar to UK VAC. Do you remember the one we went to his meet? I mean, he had that
that's
little
right,
one.
Yeah.
He walked straight into his games room.
Yeah. The one they had in the newsagents was actually a sit-down version, though.
Oh,
it was
really?
The full cockpit. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I used to pester my mum when we went into this newsagents. It was only 10p a go, and I would have been quite young at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I used to try and get in on that, and then she'd get the ump because I was probably taking too long, although I was rubbish at the game. But, you know, parents just want to get a move on.
Yeah, thank God I went Double Dragon 18.
Yeah, that would have took 20 minutes.
Can you imagine?
I used to get kicked out of the chip shop. Boy, he used to switch the machines off.
Yeah.
Yeah, in George's Fishbowl on Well Street Market. It's no longer there, thankfully. No one ever ate in there anyway. I only went in there for the arcade
food
games.
Was horrible, wasn't it? Yeah. He's going to play the arcade today, yeah. We used to have a chip shop a bit further up the road. They used to have two jammer cabs in there. There was one always had Double Dragon, the other one was Star Force. So that's my...
Right. Yeah,
you know, yeah. And I was playing that. That was probably late 80s, early 90s, 90, 89, 90, I think it was.
Yeah, Double Dragon come out in 87. It was about right then.
So it was there. We loved it. We same again, just putting all your money in it. Anything you could, you know, any change.
Yeah. About the funfair.
Yeah. We used to have the traveling fairs used to come through probably twice a year. We'd have one Easter holidays where we used to live. It used to be Chestnuts Park, which is around the back of Tottenham. And the big, huge, obviously, field there. And they'd have the traveling fairs used to turn up. And on the back of the, they used to just open the sides up and just take them all off. You just had loads of cabs in there. Loads and a few dedicated, some jammers as well. It's the same game. You had the coin pushers and, you know, just to, but it was so busy, them ones as well. You'd have them. So I think probably, April, so Easter time and probably August bank holiday.
Yeah.
It'd be about right. So then twice a year they'd come around. But they were great though. We used to love seeing them. They were fantastic.
That's where I first experienced Afterburner and Thunderblade, the sit down.
Motorized
cabs.
Yeah.
Hydraulic.
Mm. Yeah. Do you ever go to the coastal towns when you were younger, Dean?
Yes. Funny enough, some of my first memories are down at Canberra Sands playing Popeye,
which would
have been the dedicated cab, and Spy Hunter.
Yeah, which I was awful at. I know.
That was really hard, I found.
It's a hard game, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
It is,
not easy. No, it's not easy at all.
Isle of Wight, I used to play. They had Chase HQ. Isle of Wight was 1990, the summer of 1990. Mm. Chase HQ.
Yeah.
I had a crowd around me. I could complete it back then.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, nice one.
So I used to get a bit of a gathering.
Mm. That's good though, isn't it? It's nice though, isn't it? It's nice, yeah. It's a great game. I mean, I say I've got SCI and I love that.
Mm.
You know, I'm glad I've been looking for that cab for such a long time and eventually, say, spoke to the guy at Four Quarters in Bristol and he said he was happy to sell it to me. So I went down there one day, got a van, done it all myself, picked it up, brought it home, and I've even got a spare PCB for it as well.
So I've
got a working one. Yeah, I have, yeah. So anything goes wrong, it's just a straight swap.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the same game. It's racing games. I just remember always playing it. It's very food related, these. So it was a Chinese.
Right.
Yeah. So chip shops or Chinese. Yeah. But I always remember playing it down there off West Green Road. There was a Chinese down there. They had a cab there for about, I don't know, two and a half years or whatever.
Yeah. And was the food decent at this Chinese?
It was all right, actually. It was quite good. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, we used to go in there, usually after being in a pub and having a few beers and stuff like that, you know, and then go in there, order food and be in there for food to be stone cold by the time you come out because still in the bag. You've been playing for an hour, do you know what I mean? So it's that is one of my favourite games that I like playing. I'm so glad I got the cab.
Yeah, I've got memories of playing that. Funnily enough, you say about Seaside Resorts, my granddad used to have a caravan at Walton-on-the-Naze in Essex.
Mm.
And, they had that on the pier.
Yeah.
Again, around 1990, 91, 92.
Yeah, yeah.
I was never as good at SCI as I was Chase HQ. I think it's quite a bit harder.
I think it's because you've got more to do, haven't you, when you're shooting and you've got to wait for the rocket launcher to come down.
My little brain can't cope with the shooting as well as the
sort
racing.
Of multitasking, isn't it? Yeah. I've got a friend of mine, Darren, he lives in Frinton, around the corner from Waterlase.
Yeah.
And so, he's always down there. He's just same thing is, I mean, you probably see it yourself when you go to Seaside Town now and when you go to these arcades and they're all redemption machines. No good. He just walks in, his heart breaks and my heart breaks every time. So we got my in-laws there in just outside Great Yarmouth in Gorleston. And every time I take the kids down, I mean, they were young, they were a bit older now, but every time you walk in, there's nothing. You know, and then tickets coming out of the machine. I mean, the kids love it. It's their thing for this generation, isn't it?
These
redemption tickets.
I mean, you see the likes of Namco doing these Pac-Man and Galaga machines.
Tato
have done like a Space Invaders where you're actually using a gun, I think.
Yeah, it's like a rail gun, isn't it? Yeah.
But you're right. It's just tickets spewing out of these things all the time.
Sometimes I just don't walk in them. They're like, it's going. They're like, I don't really want to, for honest.
It kind of kills. Kills it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, growing up, you didn't have a home computer or a home console?
No, not really. I used to go around friends' houses a lot of the time. But it was, and it was basically I had Atari VCS. Had that. Yep. Had a few games with that as well, which I loved. But yeah, mainly it was around a lot of friends' houses. It's funny enough, the Vectrex. That's where I first played the Vectrex, was around a friend of mine's house who used to live around the corner from me. And I loved it. When I saw it, I was like, I can't believe this is all in one box. You can play, it's got a screen, and you can play the games on it just by plugging it in and nothing. Obviously, because it had Mindstorm built into it. You didn't have to put a cartridge in it, did you?
That was one of the best packing games ever.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, you know. So, my first memories with stuff like that was probably having our Atari VCS and then playing the Vectrex around a friend's house and also in television. One of my other pals, he had in television, which used to play Lock and Chase. Always remember playing Lock and Chase on the Intellivision.
Yeah.
Loved it. But I'm not.
See, I remember seeing the games for sale occasionally because I used to have an Atari 2600, which it was a hand-me-down from my cousins.
Yeah, yeah.
So that came with a load of games, and occasionally I'd get a new game for it. and I used to have to get them from a record shop. And they'd have the Atari games mixed in with the Intellivision games.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, a couple of other consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes, certain games, they might have even been published by Atari for the Intellivision. I can't remember if that was a thing or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I used to see those games and think, I'd love to see what these play like. But I didn't know anyone with an Intellivision at the time.
Yeah, yeah, he had one. Yeah, my mate Peter, he had one. His dad got it. His dad used to work away. And every so often he'd come back, be working. I think he used to work in the oil rigs. I'm sure it was the oil rigs he used to work on. And, yeah, he used to come back. Every time he'd come back with a new console or new home computer like to play with and bring a load of games with him. So every time his dad was back, he'd think, oh, what's he got this time? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't too bad, you know. But, it wasn't until probably the SNES was probably the first console game setup that I had.
Yeah.
It was probably the SNES, and I loved that. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
You know, some great games on the SNES. Really good.
I remember when they came out, I still had an Amiga, and it was the price of games that just put me off, you know, 60 to 70
they
quid
were,
sometimes.
$69.99 and stuff like that, weren't they? Yeah, they weren't
going
cheap.
Up to Virgin Megastore up Oxford Street, and I'd play the games for a little while, but see the prices, I think now I'll stick to my Amiga.
Yeah, exactly.
But you say, that was a tight one.
But I don't know what it was about. I love playing games at home and stuff like that, but it wasn't. I really loved going out and going to like arcades and physically doing the games. I don't know. That attracted me more than playing at home, really. I don't know why that was, but yeah, I really love going because there's arcades everywhere. We're lucky to have the Trocadero.
Oh, they were. Speaking to my daughter this morning, she asked me about something to do with arcade machines. Mm. I said they were literally everywhere back then, you know.
Yeah, they were.
Shopping centres, leisure centres, mini cab offices, kebab houses, fish and chip shops, the Chinese,
you name it,
news agents, and getting into a proper arcade when you hear a few machines going at the same time.
It's brilliant. I love it when I've got my caps on. It's fantastic. Just to sit in the background, they're just on in the background. It just takes you back, doesn't it? It takes me back anyway. It's just it used to be everywhere, didn't it? It never used to be, some pubs had some as well, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot
as
of
well,
pubs
didn't
did.
They? Thinking about it.
Yeah, and cocktail machines.
Cocktail
as well.
Machines were in pubs. They were popular in the pubs, weren't they?
They were. Yeah,
yeah they were. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So, when did you first buy an arcade cab?
A cab. It was 2010. I got a Fighting Vipers cab. It was. I had to go and pick it up from a market that was on in Essex. I think it was over near. I can't remember where it was. It was a market going on, and the guy was selling it on eBay. And I've not long been on eBay, and he said that he was going to be there. Could I come and collect it for him? So chatting back and two. When I saw the cab, the Fighting Vipers cab, it's not a small cab neither. So I had a van, got it off him, but it was had a PC in it. So I was like, oh, okay. So he said, look, you can show me how it all up and running. He got it all up and running and working. And he had, he didn't have Maximus Arcade. I put Maximus Arcade onto it. But he had it running with a couple of games. I think he had MAME on it. And I took it home, got it indoors, put it in my garage, and then started downloading software for like Maximus Arcade and converting it all over. And that was the first time I had an actual cab. But then started using, was it Jammer Plus or was it before it went to UK VAC? I can't remember.
It was Jammer Plus.
It was Jammer Plus. I started messaging people on first. But that was coming, I don't know if that was coming to an end or it all went offline, didn't it, Jammer Plus? And then but UK VAC was already starting up, wasn't it? I think there's a bit of a crossover. I'm sure it was a crossover anyway. So I started to speak to people on there, started getting little bits of information and looking online and Then just started slowly but surely changing it over. Eventually, I sold that. I found another cab that had a jammer harness in it, and then I sold that cab, but I kept the other one for a little while. But then sold that on, and it just started from there, really. Then obviously looking at PCBs and stuff like that, and then converted it over. It was already converted. Started playing things like I think the first one I got was a 19-in-1. And a horizontal PCB. That was the main one, because I was looking at getting a super gun, and then and then loading it up, the super gun up from there, if I remember rightly. And then, but I ended up getting. What did I end up getting? A 19-in-1 I got, and then a vertical cab come up. And I got that, and I was like, oh, right, okay, so I've got both now. So that's when I started looking at that, getting the 60-in-1 board, which I got, and I ended up, so with both of them, and then I just started going from there, really, and then started learning about a friend of mine, Darren. He had a super gun. He said, why don't you try this? So I tried that and loaded some software on it, and it was much easier to use. So I started using super guns, you know, which were really, really good.
But, so, just for the sake of our listeners, what is a super gun?
So it's like it's got a jammer connector on one side, and you can load software onto it, games and stuff, and you can run ROMs through it to play games, which connects onto a jammer harness, which you can play obviously on. Which had a CRT, both of them had CRTs in them. One was a little bit. It needed work on it, but then same again, I didn't know what I was doing. Sometimes I switch it on, I would get play blind, and that's why I started asking more questions and finding out more information and getting contacts on UK VAC that deal with like monitors. And slowly but surely, I've learned so much by asking the questions. I think sometimes the faults can help you, because where you're struggling. And you don't know what, and obviously, you know, the guys are really good on there. They give you advice within an hour.
Oh, they're very helpful. So
really knowledgeable,
of,
you know.
Yeah, if you're thinking of buying an arcade cab, or if you've just got one and you've got any problems, do get on the UK VAC forums.
Oh, definitely.
And like you say, most problems that you come up against, someone else has had the same problems.
Definitely.
You'll easily be able to find the solution, usually.
Definitely. I mean, if you... You know, obviously, I've always worked on the basis, think simple before you think hard. Do you know what I mean? Because it can be sat in as, I'd give you a good example.
Oh, I'm an expert at thinking simple.
Well, I had a cab, and the second cab I had, you know, when you take the back of the door off, the back door, and you have to switch for the engineer switch.
Mm.
And I kept pushing it in instead of pulling it out,
right?
For instance. And so... The problem is, it's a safety mechanism. So when you take the door off, obviously the power cuts for the engineers to go in and do any work they need to do. So it's like a fail safe. But I was pushing it in. I was getting power when I was pushing it in and not realizing that I must have had it for about 3 months before someone said to me on UK VAC, no, pull it out. You pulled it out. Yeah, exactly. It didn't work. I just put the door back on and I left it. So, but yeah, it was about 3 months. I think it was something like 2.5-3 months. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've just done that. Been waiting around. They just pulled a little white switch that you can buy. You know, it's like a safety cutout switch. Yeah, I just pulled it out. I was like, oh no. Wasted all that time.
You never learn, don't you?
Exactly. Of course you don't. Exactly. Never do it again. Do you know what I mean? Never do it again. But yeah. But as a hobby itself, you sort of learn as you go along. You know, it's good. I think so. I learn so much more now than I've ever known about them. You know, which is.
I think some people are put off by, you know, the technical aspects of it, especially arcade cabs with CRTs. They worry that they're going to get electrocuted, or if they break, they won't be able to get them fixed.
Yeah, it's true.
But there are people out there that,
Yeah, there
you
are.
You can fix these things.
Yeah, there are. And there's that's not what many the of them, all but about. There are
no,
people
there
out
isn't.
There.
But there we're quite lucky out. Here in the southeast. There's yeah, a we couple are. Of yeah, people,
got,
isn't there?
We've got
really?
Two guys down here that we know of. Yeah. So which are really, really good, really helpful. I mean, you know, obviously they charge, but their expertise is second to none. You know,
yeah.
You give them a broken CRT. I know I tend to give them with the actual tube, so you actually got the actual screen with the chassis in the frame, and some people just send the chassis off to get fixed, and I'll just think no, just take the whole thing, let them fix it. I can see it being fixed, or you know, or
I'll
they'll send us
do
pictures.
More damage trying to take it apart.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. I don't want to do that, you know. So, but I mean, I'm quite lucky. I've got a spare monitor here that I got. Just in case any of my cabs go, and I've not had to touch it. It's been up there for about 7 or 8 months now, so it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Not had to tinker about it at all, you know. But the cold weather doesn't help, and the damp, it may might get like where I am in my garage. It's not damp, really, but
it's
just
cold.
It's
been a very cold winter, though,
yeah,
isn't
it has,
it?
Yeah, it has.
It's
yeah, it
only
has.
Just started to warm up slightly
yeah,
the last couple of days.
It was like 15 degrees, wasn't it, today?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So it's yeah, slowly but surely getting warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, it's storing them. You're lucky, you've got a nice big garage.
Yeah.
So how many cabs you got at the moment?
I've got five. Yeah, I've got so I've got yeah, I've got a vertical jammer cab.
Yeah.
So it plays all my vertical games I run through a Raspberry Pi. Through a
Pi to Jammer,
yeah. Sorry, Arcade Forge, who make the Pi to Jammers. So, I've got one in that one, I've got one in my horizontal jammer cab as well, running the same software. And then I've got a dedicated, well, it's a reproduction track and field, which has
cab, which I can
it's from start to finish. It's been a labour of love, but I love it. And it's got a the Hypersports, because a Hypersports control panel is exactly the same as a track and field. And so I've got the Hypersports rearrange kit in there, so it plays Hypersports games and track and field games.
Yeah, so they're the proper PCBs.
But yeah, proper game board, yeah, with the
that swaps added, between the two.
Between the two, and also you can, in the menu, you can work on individual rounds, as opposed to having to go
through four or five to
get where you want to get to, and work on that one individually. So you can work on individual events and get better at them. Yeah, and then go back and start playing the game to, you know, increase your scores. And it's ever since I've had it, which has probably been about 4 or 5 months now. The actual kit itself, it's been fantastic. Really, really good. Yeah, the scores are slowly but surely creeping up, getting better, getting faster, getting longer.
And you've managed to get the proper buttons for the cab now, haven't you?
Yeah, this time. Well, when I had it first built, I got the wrong buttons. So, yeah.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it? It does, big time.
There's more flexibility in the original buttons and the leaf switches underneath to run the game. But, yeah, luckily I've got them all the way it should be, like the original spec now, so which makes the game so much easier to play. Yeah, so then I've got a Cabaret Battle Zone, which I got from Alex from Al's Arcade on YouTube, Alex Crowley, and I love playing that. That's got the Red Zone multi kit in it, so it has games like Red Baron. Omega Race, I think it is, and it's got Battle Zone 2, which is a homebrew game.
Yeah,
which is fantastic.
I want to play
game.
That. It looks amazing.
What a game! It's so good. I mean, I love the original, but this makes the game so much more playable. You got to watch out for like landmines. You got rapid fire. You got heat seeking missiles. And then you've got like 4 or 5 tanks on the screen at once firing at you. So it's suits up, if you like, version of it, but it keeps you on your toes, you know.
And how much does that cost, that kit?
I'm not sure they do it. I think it's from the arcadeshop.com in the US. I think it's something in the region about $190, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah,
something like that. It's a great kit. Oh, yeah, definitely, without a doubt. If you ever want to upgrade your if you haven't got Battlezone, but if you want to have a look online, have a look on YouTube for videos of the Red Zone PCB. It's fantastic, really good. Makes sure your whole cab, a few more games. Red Baron itself, you've got the same controls for Red Baron, and that's a great game. That's a great vector game, I love it. I love that the Red Zone PCB. I'm doing some work on, I'm changing my control panel on my Cabaret Battlezone next week. So got all the bits and pieces I need to upgrade it to back to the, because I have problems with the, I've had problems in the past with the two sticks that you use that you have with Battlezone. If you don't know, it's a tank game which you use with the twin sticks and the shooter on the right hand side, and it's like two forward, two back, left and right as you go. But mine keep getting stuck. He's got these rubber bellows, they call them, inside the actual, for them to bounce back. So when you, when you're using it, when you're finished, so you come to let go of it, they spring back into
the original position.
Recenter, that's it. Yeah, sorry. That's what I meant to say. So doing all that next week. So that's something to look forward to. And then I've got my
your SCI.
So got my SCI, which I've had since June last year. I think it was June or July last year.
Is there a kit to put Chase HQ running in?
Oh, do you know? I don't know. Actually, that's a good point.
That would be nice.
Definitely. Yeah, that'd be. Do you know? Because I think. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I have to look into that, but it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? To have them both in there.
Yeah.
Because I know, you can get the Outrun one, can't you?
That's right.
Yeah, I've seen that one before. I think Gav, when we went to his meet, didn't we? Remember
that's
last
right,
year?
Yes. Outrun, Turbo Outrun, I think. Does it have Outrunners as well? I can't remember.
I think it's
Turbo Outrun. And I think there's, a special edition of Outrun that you can, different colour car and stuff.
That's another good one as well. So that's got, because his one's got the rumble kit in it as well, isn't it? You know, when you when you crash, because it just vibrates.
I would love a driving cab, I've got to say, but I'd want one where I can, probably with a Raspberry Pi in it, so I can play a few different games.
No, if you get one, you have to get a multi game, wouldn't you? But that, only because I like that game so much.
If a Chase HQ came my way and I had the money, I had the space, I would snap it up.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. I love having a driving game. Love it. So good. It's pretty good. It's good to come. The kids love it, to be fair. My boy plays it all the time. As soon as he comes in the garage, he's on it straight away. So he knows where the button. He knows exactly what button to switch on for that cab out of all of them. It's that one straight away. So I catch him into his mates.
That's his go-to game.
I come home from work sometimes. Come home from work sometimes, and him and his mates are home from school, and I've been out whatever, and they come in straight on the arcade. So it's good. It's good to see. It's nice to see. Next generation, what we used to play.
I wish my boy still played them, because ever since he got into Fortnite, he's not really been in here. Obviously, I've only got two proper, proper cabs. They're two jammer cabs and the arcade one-up Star Wars cab.
Yeah, Star Wars,
But, I would love a driving cab of some sort. Just to a bit of variety.
Yeah, exactly. Just change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and have a little meet soon. I don't know how many people I can have, but when it gets a bit warmer, I think, and a few people around, it'd be nice to have, there's some good guys out there that have fantastic collections, and they're, we're lucky enough to know quite a lot of them, haven't we, aren't we, Dean? Ourselves.
Yeah, well, through you, I've been invited to a few of these meets, and they're great.
fantastic. I mean, some of their collections are unbelievable. I mean, in our hobby as such. But say, Alex Crowley was talking about earlier, his Owl's Arcade YouTube channel. He does some great game room tours. He goes around all these private collectors.
Yeah.
And he goes up and down the country, doesn't he? You know, I don't think a blade of grass he's missed. He's been everywhere, hasn't he? He's been everywhere,
he has
doing
been
it.
Everywhere.
You know,
yeah.
you name
up
it.
To Scotland.
Scotland,
and
exactly.
South,
that's right. Yeah. Exactly. So he's been everywhere.
With his cream cakes.
Yeah, he loves a cream cake, that boy, doesn't he?
Yeah, plus the arcade raids,
yeah. I mean, it's been some fantastic,
really
it's nice
interesting,
to see. Yeah. Because it's like, in a way, to a degree, it's you know, a bit archaeological, wasn't it? Where you're trying to, save things back from days gone by. It's nice to see, but the way that some of these guys have got these, their own private collections, they get these cabs and but that's part of the hobby, isn't it? Where when they want to get them back to the way they were when they first saw them, when they first come out, and they do restoring them and spending, it's not cheap, it's not a cheap hobby, this, is it?
No.
But you can get, but the way that improved and, like you say, restored the cabs. Some of them are amazing. It's definitely worth having a look on YouTube at Owl's Arcade and have a look at the game room tours. And some of, Gav, that Night Driver. Do you remember that one? That's an old game. That's
and
a really old
the,
game.
The Williams Pinball Shooter game.
Oh, yeah,
I always forget the name of it.
Hyperball? No, that's not, is it? The Williams one. It's like Crossfire on acid, isn't it?
It's unreal because it's got all the sound effects from the Williams games.
Yeah, it has, isn't it? Yeah.
It's got
Robotron and from Defender. Yeah. Yeah,
it looks amazing. It's got these red LEDs. It's great fun to play.
It's a real,
And
how many of them have you seen?
That's the only one I've ever seen.
I think it's the only one I've ever seen.
But what a game.
Brilliant.
And it sounds
really
amazing. It looks amazing. It looks like a pinball table.
It's like half a pinball, isn't it? Yeah. It's
crazy.
Yeah, it's well worth
and
having a look on that online.
Meeting all these people, Gav's a really nice bloke. I've never met him before, but
lovely
he welcomes
fella.
You into his home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let you play all these games. Mm. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Such a nice
Steve Arnold as well. There's Alex as well.
Yeah,
there's Ollie, another one, and his collection is unbelievable.
Ah,
some of the cabs he's got, super rare, super rare. It's just nice to, and they're lovely guys. That's really nice guys. Always helpful. Always try and give you advice if you're stuck or anything, or let you know if there's any particular cab you might be looking for. You heard it through the grapevine. Someone might be selling one. And always try and put you forward if you ever wanted to get a cab for yourself. Yeah. But just really nice guys, great hobby. It's just I was having a conversation with Alex not so long ago, and he was saying need to try and get some more young blood into our hobby. Because obviously they get them to love the cabs and the games that we loved. Just to put a bit more energy into it, as well, isn't it? Because I'm not getting any younger.
We're all getting old. We're all in our 50s.
Exactly. We've got ailments, haven't we, now? Yeah, but it's a great hobby. I love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do anything else,
I mean, what would you suggest for someone who's wanting to get into it? Would you point them in the direction of a jammer cab first of all, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if they're regular goers to places like Arcade Club and they see these cabs or something like we were talking about earlier, what was the what's the new one? The one you is in Warsaw.
Oh, Craig's one. Retro Realm.
That's the one. And go to places like that and see a cab that you like, but then ideally, first of all, you've got to make sure you've got enough storage so you can put it somewhere. Yeah. And then two, then obviously is the financial side of it. But yeah, I mean, look around. I mean, UK Vax is a nice site to go on. There's a great Facebook page if you want to look at people selling their cabs on there. But price wise,
the thing is, they vary, don't they?
They do.
I bought an empty cab off of Steve, my first one.
Yeah,
it was empty. It had joysticks attached to it, but all the jam harness had been ripped out.
Yeah.
I gave him 50 quid for that, and I put a PC in it.
Yeah.
A monitor, was it a
flat
which was
screen?
No, it was a VGA.
Oh, VGA,
CRT,
okay. Yeah.
But it was out of one of those quiz machines.
Oh, I remember you saying, yeah.
And that lasted me for a few years until it started playing up. So I got rid of that, and luckily, I think through you, I managed to get an arcade monitor. I can't remember if it's through you or it's through someone on UK Vac.
No, you got it, and I got it. I went down to Grant, didn't I?
I remember I had to go. It was near Birmingham where I bought the monitor from. It had been kept in a shed and it wasn't in the greatest of condition, but it was fairly cheap. And Grant managed to get it working.
Get it working.
You wouldn't believe, the picture on it is amazing.
Yes, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. So, 50 quid, I stuck a PC in it. When I changed the monitor, I ended up using a Raspberry Pi and a Pi, it's Pi to Jammer.
Yeah.
So
that's a good way to start, though, isn't it?
It is a good way to start.
I think if you want to get into the hobby, I think the Raspberry Pi, get into the hobby doing it from scratch and then building yourself up.
I've got a 60-in-1 and a 19-in-1, whatever it is. But I haven't got any proper PCBs.
No.
For me, it'd be storing them safely.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
They're quite expensive.
They are.
And I'm a cheapskate.
But getting into the actual hobby from scratch, I think the Pi is the way it gets forward.
Oh, yeah, I'd do.
Yeah, because it things...
If you're really into a game, say like for me, I wouldn't say no to a Double Dragon PCB if I could find one for the right price.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, PCBs, if they come by at the right price, I might pick some up. But
the cab that
I've got, it's just a bit awkward to actually put them in without...
Yeah, as well, yeah.
With them sitting in there nicely.
Mm.
So, yeah, the...
See, I've got access behind my cabs, so going in the back and changing them over is not a problem.
I have to pull them out, so I've not got much room in here. The setup that I have, you just go into a menu, select a different game, away you go.
Exactly. It's quick, isn't it, as well? So there's particular games you like. Going through the collections you get with MAME, you could be there all day looking at games and just going through lists and lists of games. And that's why I fine-tuned it in my...
Yeah, don't have too many games on your
cache. You'll be spending more of the time going through them than you will be playing them. So I think that's...
What I tend to do with the Pi to Jammer, you can select what game you want it to boot into
when you switch the machine on.
So I'll select a game and I will play that a lot. I'll have that on for a few months, play it as much as I can, and then go into a different game if I get bored of that and have that boot up.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, though, isn't it? Exactly, having that selection. But you just, where years ago, we used to have it on PC when first got MAME come out and MAME started getting bigger and better. You're just going through lists and lists of games. It was
just you end up spending more time going up and down a list than actually playing the games.
And I don't like that. So I just thought, I've probably got about 70 different games on the vertical and I think about 60 on the horizontal. But that's it. If I come across a game that I know that I haven't played, I just swap it over. I can do it via my PC in the garage. It doesn't take 2 seconds to swap it over or just add it to the collection. Just set up the controls, set up on the joystick and buttons and away you go.
Yeah.
Credit it and away you go, So it's it's quite simple because we've been using it for quite some time, but it's not hard to do, you know. It's just, it's,
yeah,
you know, which it makes game, you get more game time out of it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And setting a jammer cab up from scratch, it's not really that hard, is it?
No, I thought it'd be a lot harder when you open the back of it up.
It's a bit overwhelming at first.
Yeah, when you see it.
A jammer.
Yeah, you look at a jammer harness.
In, yeah, jammer harness. There's a lot of wires.
Yeah, but I think that's what puts a lot of people off.
Mm.
But if you just take your time with it and just follow each, you know, each wire to where it goes, and if it's not working, it's probably a disconnection somewhere. You probably find like on a, you know, on a micro switch.
Yeah.
You know, connected to the joystick or to the buttons. It's a simple fix. It really is a simple fix. But some people, they're not technically minded, are they? Some people, they look at it and go, oh, I can't do that. But, you know, if you look into it, it's, say, a lot of problems, I've learned a lot from problems, as opposed to learning it from scratch. It's only when something goes wrong, you learn about it more than anything else. If it works, you just play it, don't you? It's just one of those. I think this is the way we're built, anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's only when something goes wrong that you learn more about it, you know. But yeah, it's setting up a joystick or changing a joystick over. It's just a straight swap a lot of the time, isn't it? You just, you know, remember where the old cables go into each one for the ground and one for the actual movement, be it up, down, left or right. And then the next thing, obviously, your switches for your buttons, control buttons, but one being ground and one being to go to the actual button to activate it, you know? So, but if you follow the wires, it's not that. You've got, obviously, sound and power as well. Yes, it's not that hard, really.
No, I don't think so. I was quite surprised. When I got the vertical one off of you and I had to put the jammer harness in, I thought, oh, this is going to be a complete nightmare. But as you say, you take your time, and you know, if you do anything wrong, you can usually suss it out
fairly easy. Yeah, I mean, the thing with the track and field, I got a harness from a guy, Travis Reynolds, in the US, and he custom makes jammer harnesses for particular dedicated cabs. And when I got it over, it was just a box with loads of loads of wires. I thought, where do I start? But then, say, I just individually grouped them for power, for controls, for sounds, you know, and just separated them all and just went from one at a time. Next thing, it was wired up. I was like, oh, wasn't that bad after all.
You're an engineer.
Yeah, exactly. So, which was pretty good. And then the only problem I had was because the track and field hasn't got a service switch, test switch on it. The wiring that was done for it, for the sound, there was obviously, there's a volume control normally around the test switch and service switch. So there was wires coming down from the sound that was going to the speakers at the top. And all I'd done was, because it had a connector on it, just cut the connectors, put it on the terminal block, connected it back up, and just bypassed it.
Yeah.
Because when I first put the switch on, I had no sound. It's like, oh, what have I done? And then done that, bypassed it with a little terminal block. Sound comes straight up. Works like a dream.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it's little things. It's them little things, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's a lot of problem solving, isn't it? But to say, when it's a bit above your station, that's when you get onto UKVAC forum and start asking the questions.
There's always someone else
there. Always someone on there.
Yeah.
The guys on there are fantastic.
Yeah, they really are.
Really helpful.
So, yeah. Any games that you're after at the moment?
Well, I'm in the process of getting a Asteroids cab.
Right.
It's a bit... It's going to take a bit of time. It's still being worked on, to be honest. But once it's done, I'm looking to get the multi-kit for it and then, put it together eventually. I probably won't be until I realistically probably summer, late summer. I'd end up getting that. It's probably the one I'd like to get. Cause I wanna
the original Asteroids? Or
yeah, original Asteroids. Yeah, no. The original Asteroids. I'd like a deluxe, but the original Asteroids, which I'm going to get the mold kit for. So, yeah, I want another Vector cab, definitely.
Yeah, be for sure. Your second one, won't it?
Be second one, exactly, which would be good. So, is there anything else you'd like? Anything?
Oh, there's loads I'd like.
Apart from, Chase HQ, is there anything in particular you'd...
I would...
tickle your fancy?
I'd say... GP Monaco, the top down, the old Sega, the 3D. That's Super GP Monaco, that was.
Yeah.
I'd love Turbo.
Oh, Turbo's a good game.
I'd like some dedicated cabs. If, I come into money and I moved and I had the space. But at the moment, I've got a vertical and a horizontal, and this little Star Wars arcade one-up cab does me. I'd love a driving cab because I love Outrun, I love Chase HQ, Pole Position. But then again, certain games I probably wouldn't feel right on a multi.
No, that's right. Cab. Yeah, this is the thing. You are limited, aren't you? Yeah, exactly. Without the right controls as well. I mean, say I've got the. I got the servo stick in my vertical jammer.
Yes,
which is I love it because it's.
I think I'm going to have to get one because, like you say, playing Donkey Kong or Pac-Man.
Exactly.
You need that
four way stick, especially going up and down the ladders and with Donkey Kong and stuff like that, and going around obviously around corners with Pac-Man and stuff like that. You need that, and it improves the game. You start playing better. Ever since I got it, I started playing so much better because. You can move true to form, can't you, as opposed to an 8-1.
Yeah.
You can't do it. It's just...
No.
You always get caught somehow, a barrel lands on your head because you couldn't turn or... with Donkey Kong, But there's a few games, that you need to... You definitely need the 4-way. And the good thing about it is with the PinHP software that you use in the Pi to Jammer adapter, it switches... automatically, so you enable it, and as you go from a 4-way to an 8-way,
that's clever,
it throws
isn't
a gate over you, which is nice, isn't it? And all you hear is a little sound. It's probably a second, if that. It's just moving the gate across on the joystick, and it works fantastic. Really, really good.
I'll have to take a look at yours.
When you come around, have a look at mine, and I'll show you. It's so simple, and it just plugs into USB. We can plug it straight into. You've got spare. USB ports on the Raspberry Pi anyway, so you just plug it straight in there. Plugs in. It's so simple.
Yeah.
So simple. I mean, I think you've got looking at your vertical cab, the actual control panel. I think you've got more space than I have, and
that's what I was worried about.
Yeah, no, I think you'd be fine. Looking at what I can see here.
I had the ones on this. Where you lift the joystick up, turn it.
Oh, the Ultra 360.
The Mag Stick. And it was a bit of a pain to fit in.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at yours.
Because you have to change the joystick as well. Because it's a bat joystick and not a...
That's one of the reasons I've not got... not gone ahead and done it because I do like
to
standard. Yeah, this is how these cabs came.
Yeah, so, it's a shame. I don't know if you can change that. I'd like to see if you can change that over. So I'd like to change mine back over, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because
it took me ages. One of my sticks wasn't right on one of the cabs. And it took me forever to find another one that was the same as the one that's on the left.
Yeah, the original. Yeah. Well, they're Wiko joysticks, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
They look like it. Yeah.
These cabs look similar and the profile's slightly different on them, but nice, this though. Is the thing. I'm quite lucky because being in, growing up in London and that's. The age that I was, when I started going to the amusement arcades. It was in 1986, you know, when I was started secondary school. So a lot of the games were in these kind of cabs. So I'm really nostalgic for these rather than standalone cabs.
Dedicated, as I say, in places like Trocadero, or you go to the seaside,
resorts.
You know, the traveling
funfairs.
Yeah, so you see them sort of cabs there. But these ones, we saw these all day long. That's everywhere you went. You just see these cabs everywhere. They were just swapping the games over every so often, just to sort of freshen up a little bit.
Obviously, I'd love an Electrocoin. You know, the big, what's the big ones called?
Goliaths.
Yeah,
they're heavy though.
I don't think I'd even have room in here.
No, they're a nice cab. They are. Electron did make nice cabs though. Definitely, really, really nice.
When you go to Arcade Club, you know you've got that massive row of them,
go around the corner, don't they? It's mad.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, quite nostalgic for those as well. Mm. But no, these two cabs, they're very similar to what I used to play.
Mm.
Games like Double Dragon and what have you. So very nostalgic.
R-Type as well.
This is the thing on YouTube and in places like Arcade Club, you see the Nintendo R-Type cabinet, but back in the day that was only in America. You didn't really get that over here unless the odd one or two had been imported.
Yeah,
most of them were just in jammer cabs.
Jammer cabs, weren't they? Yeah, exactly.
Hello, listeners. This is Mass. You know, the sexy one. Don't forget, Retro Asylum isn't just the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. It's also a scientifically proven aphrodisiac. So be kind to yourselves and subscribe now.
My name is Professor Thomas Goodhart, and I see the strong bond between families and digital pets every day. I also see the stress that they go through when they are worrying about their unwell virtual family pet member.
Dad, Terrence the Tamagotchi won't stop beeping. I think he's going to die.
Here at Virtual Souls Matter, we believe that your virtual family pet member truly deserves the very best care that you can or can't afford to give it. Even if your digital pet's batteries faded decades ago, we have the groundbreaking medical technology and the positive mental attitude needed to bring your loved virtual pets back from the other side, so that you can feel and share their love again.
Terrence seems better now. Thank you, Dad.
So, if your Tamagotchi, Digimon, or any other digital family pet member is in need of the very best medical care that money can buy, visit virtualsoulsmatter.com. Virtual pet insurance available soon. T's and C's apply.
Right, Vectrex.
Okay.
Something else that you're into.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what have you been playing recently?
Okay, yes, so I've been playing Verizon quite a lot. The last thing I've been off this week, half term, and I've been doing stuff with my boy, and I've not been doing stuff with my
boy. You haven't really. You've been down the garage playing Vectrex.
Yeah, if the wife asks, if she ever listens to this podcast. Yeah, I was out with my son all week. I've been playing Verizon. The homebrew game.
Yeah,
you can see it. And
amazing game.
It's a great game. It's a great game. It really is. Really, really, really well thought out game. Because you played
very
the
smooth.
You played the game. You played the version at the Arcade Archive. Did you not?
I did. Is that right? It was built into like a barrel.
Barrel cocktail.
It was it was the Vectrex placed in this barrel, but it was lovely.
Mm.
That's where I first experienced it.
Yeah, I didn't
and he
get
was
to
sending the game
day.
There and then, the programmer. Mm. So I
you got a copy there, did you? You did,
I did, yeah.
Oh, nice one.
So yeah. I was very lucky. I was one of the first to get that. Mm. Yeah, great game. I've not played it in a while. I need to get that's back
why,
on that.
Do you know, that's why I played it, because I've not played it in such a long time. I thought, no, I'm going to give that a go. I must have played it for about, a good hour and a half.
Yeah.
I really got into it.
I'm rubbish at it, though. I find it quite frustrating. I'm not great at it.
Yeah, it can be, when you do the repeat shooting, you get the bullets get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And you get to a point where, like, you miss it by about...
You need to get into a rhythm with it.
Yeah, but been playing that, been playing Christoph Tutt's Vector Patrol as well. Been playing that one, which is...
That's a Moon Patrol clone.
Yeah, that's it, for the Vectrex. But
my God, it's slick.
Yeah, it's very good. Well-made game. Even the box itself, the cassette box, it comes in. And obviously you get the overlay with it. And, just when you're playing the music.
Walking on the Moon. Intro.
Intro, yeah. Well, yeah, it's well thought out. Well thought out game. Really, really good game. I love playing that as well. I've got, I haven't been playing it, but I've got Vector Pilot as well, which is another good game from him.
I've played it at Alex's.
Yeah,
I mean, the trouble is the Vectrex games are quite pricey. And I do think,
I
want it, but I've got the arcade ROM on the cab.
You know,
will I play it as much? I'm not sure, but
no.
I probably would. I mean, all these games are done so well. He's got to be one of the better programmers.
Oh, definitely.
I think, for the Vectrex.
Yeah, he does like the, you know, when you buy a game off him, it comes the full package, doesn't it? It's everything, you know.
That's it. They are pricey, but you're getting a lot for your money.
Definitely. If you're anyone out there that is, you know, uses Vectrex and you haven't got any of Christoph Tutt's collection, definitely go and have a look online. Some of the games, the way he's done them, it just runs so smooth. They run.
They push the Vectrex.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, definitely. Which is really good.
Those two games, obviously, they're not Vector games in the arcade.
No.
They're raster graphics. So you wouldn't think that they'd work that well on the Vectrex, but they really do.
They do feel work at home well. There. Yeah, definitely. They do. Yeah. I mean, you're lucky to have a Vec Fever car, aren't you?
I am very lucky to.
Indiana Jones trying to find one.
Well, I've not had it that long. Maybe, excuse me, a year now. Mm. I kept pestering Thomas, the guy who makes them. And, I didn't hear from him. I must have contacted him 8 times.
Yeah.
Didn't hear a thing. And then I thought, I'll give it another try. And then he got back to me. And I had the Vec Fever within a week. At a decent price as well, not a silly price.
No, exactly, because they go for stupid money, don't they?
Yeah,
they go for stupid money.
And it's mad because unless this has been mentioned by the boys on the previous episode, which I haven't heard yet, listeners won't know, but the shed got broken into probably about a month ago now. So... I was driving up to Ipswich. It was about 7:30 of a morning, and my wife rang me and she said, "You're not going to believe this, but the shed door's open." And my heart sank because I thought, all my stuff, it's the podcast as well, you know, everything.
Yeah.
I'm thinking everything's gone. But stuff like the Vec Fever and my Vectrex, they can't really be. A Vectrex can be replaced, but it's going to cost me. Vec Fever, I'll probably never get again.
That's right. They're so sought after, aren't they?
I was panicking, and I had to drive to Ipswich, get all my work done that day, and I didn't know if anything had been stolen or smashed up because, like I say, someone had broken in here. Luckily, the shed is alarmed, and the alarm spooked them, and they went, and they must have run without even looking because nothing... had been touched.
Very lucky.
Very, very lucky. Very lucky. So, I've had to take matters into my own hands, We've ramped up security. We've got Bert, the security guard, sitting here with me in our overseas everything.
Yeah. Good fella, Bert.
He is very
reliable.
He doesn't say much, Bert. No. He's deadly but silent. a worrying time. Stuff like that. Like I say, the Vec fever. Oh, if I'd lost that, I would have cried like a baby.
Yeah, that's the first thing I said to you.
Yeah.
And you told me. Please don't tell me you took your Vec fever cart. You can replace the Vectrex.
That's it.
It's such a good unit, isn't it? Itself, the Vec fever cart, and you know the games that are on it, which you can obviously
who don't know, it's like a multi-cart, but you can also, it does things which other multi-carts don't do. I mean, you can play a lot of Vector games. Most Vector arcade games can now be played on the Vectrex through the Vec fever. There's also Vector versions of games that weren't Vector games in the arcade, such as Bomb Jack Vectors and Donkey Kong, Star Wars, Battlezone, Tempest. There's loads of stuff. There's the Pytrex, which is great, but the Vec fever seems to do it with a bit more finesse.
It's a bit more to it, isn't there?
A bit more slick. Really nice bit of kit. So if you do want one, go to the website of the guy who makes it. It's vecfever.com, and send him a message. And if you don't hear from him, just don't give up. Keep trying.
Sure. I mean, I got the Vec multi-cart from Richard Hutchinson.
That's good.
It's a good multi-cart. It is very good. Very, very good. There's quite a good few games in there as well.
And you got the Pyatrex as well.
I've got Pyatrex as well, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I've got Pyatrex as well, yeah. So there's some good games on there as well. Yeah, very good. It's like Vector Blade. That's a good game.
Yes.
Like Vector Blade. That's on the Pyatrex, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, that's another slick one.
They done that as a solo game as well, didn't they? Do you remember that come out?
Yeah, I've got that.
Actually, you have got it,
What else have I got? What's the other one? There's one that's... I forgot what it's bloody called. It's based on the Konami arcade game that I can't... Juno First.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called, the Vectrex version?
Hera Primera.
That's the one.
Got that.
I don't know why. I found the demo to be more playable than I do the full game.
No, definitely. It's a good demo, that. It's a good game. So, it's Juno First, isn't it? So, Vectrex version of Juno First, which is a great arcade game. Vertical shooter. Very good. It's not a vertical defender, really, isn't it?
But I can actually play that because
the controls on
Defender are too hard.
You haven't got seven buttons, have you?
And obviously, I can't play it on my jammer cab. It just doesn't.
No.
You can't control it.
No.
Frontier, I've got Big Blue.
The original Scramble on the Vectrex is
amazing.
It's a great game. Really good game.
Again, another game wasn't Vector in the arcade, but works really well.
Conversion is fantastic. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, very good game. Very good game. But the thing with the Vectrex as well, is so more customizable now, isn't it? Is that a word? So you can customize it so much now with the UV frames and Victim Island, from X Tenpence Arcade.
He does some great controllers.
He does some fantastic controllers. We went to the last revival, Dean. Do you remember the last revival?
Yeah.
We went last year and he had the little chrome box Tempest controller. He had the spinner. That was really good. Well made as well. Really well made. there's people out there doing quite a lot.
There's one on Facebook at the moment that someone's doing, Lunar Lander,
yeah. So I think Alex has got, someone sent Alex the Lunar Lander controller.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm sure he's got it.
I think they're about 120 quid.
Yeah, 120, maybe a bit more.
Whereas it's getting them because you're getting them from the States, so postage is going to be a fair bit. Mm. But that would be pretty cool, playing it with that lever, you know.
Yeah, that's it. A little thruster lever, yeah. Yeah, really good. Yeah, when you go to this place like Arcade Club, they've got the original Lunar Lander there. You look at it, and I think some of the collections we've been to, some of the private collectors have got it.
Yeah.
It just looks so much better playing it with a thruster, doesn't it, with the thruster arm, especially with it calibrated as well, so you get a sort of false feedback on it, don't you? Which is good. It's a good setup. Very good setup.
Is there any games that you'd like to see come out on the Vectrex that haven't?
That's a good question. Huh? I mean, there's different versions of like Asteroids and Missile Command that's already on there, isn't there? On the, what's the one for Missile Command? I can't think. Protector.
Is there a missile?
Protector.
Protector.
That's Missile Command. That's on the Vec Multi. That is.
Yeah.
Protector. Sure. This, because you've got one. What's Yazzie's? Yazzie's the one.
Protectors.
No.
Yazzie. Protectors, Patriots.
Patriots.
Oh, Patriots.
Patriots, yeah, not...
Right.
Sorry, Protector, Patriots. Sorry, what I meant to say. Patriots is the Missile Command version on the Vectrex.
I'll have to take a look at
that. Yeah, it's a good game, that. It's not too bad. I've
played that.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good game.
Because Yazzie, isn't it?
Yes, Yazzie. Yazzie.
And other Space Invaders.
Yes, that's right.
That's great.
Is Defender,
Protector
isn't it?
Defender,
isn't it? That's it, yeah.
Because it's vertical, the screen's really narrow, it makes it even harder.
Harder, yeah. So you don't know what's coming, do you? You ain't got...
that's a really nice version of the game.
Mm. It is a nice version of the game, yeah. It is. Yeah, it works. It plays really well. So some good guys on the... Say you have a look on the Facebook Vector Fans Unite group.
Yeah,
and some of the collections on there, some of the guys have got, you know, including Vec Fever, you know, the guys that have the Vec Fever, and the stuff they're doing on there, it's pushing the boundaries of, if you never thought back then when the Vectrex come out, what they could be doing 30, 40 years later, you'd be sort of like,
well, there's a game in development. I did mention it on a previous episode. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's like some sort of racing game. Bit like Wipeout.
Oh, I think I've seen clips of it.
It's coming out soon. They're working on it at the moment. It looks pretty slick.
Yeah.
So I've definitely got my eye on that.
Mm.
There's a lot of good stuff on the Vectrex.
Mm.
I'd like another one. I'd like those frames that Alex has got so you can have one vertical.
Horizontal. Yeah. So I think Victor Marlon was 3D printing them, wasn't he?
Was he?
Before. I don't think he does them anymore. I asked him a couple of years ago now, he said that he 3D printed a few, but I'm sure you can get, it's like a four piece you put together, isn't it? And you can put away, you can lay the Vectrex down on its side. Yeah, which are pretty good. Yeah, they look pretty nice.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's getting another Vectrex though, because I'd like one that you just leave like that. But
that's again, it, yeah, exactly.
Vectrexes are quite pricey these days.
Yeah, the prices are just going up, aren't they, all the time?
Yeah.
On them, yeah, definitely.
Some people are quite lucky though. Mark, who works on the show, American Mark, he's got two Vectrexes.
Has he? Oh, okay.
Yes. Jammy sod. Send me one, Mark. Send me one.
Can't play them both at the same time, can you?
Can you imagine it coming from the States though? They get smashed up when you post them just in this country.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Right, shall we wrap it up there then?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you've got anything else you want to discuss?
No. I think we've covered quite a bit so far.
I think so.
But, you know, whenever you fancy having me back, Dean, you just give me a holler, mate.
Definitely, I've enjoyed this, reminiscing about the old arcades, especially in London, like you say.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We're London boys, aren't we?
Yeah, that's it. It's about time I had someone else from London on here.
I can understand what you're talking about, Dean. That's what it is.
Yeah. None of our listeners will know what we're talking about. Got me white boys.
Yeah,
cool. All right then, guys, until next time, I hope you've enjoyed the show, and hopefully we'll have Paul back with us very soon.
Definitely. Cheers, mate. Paul. Been great. Thanks, Dean.
No worries. See you soon. Bye-bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a family.